There's no shortcut to the Christian life. There's no easy way. May I say to you today, the yoke the Lord Jesus gives us is not an easy chair. That's some of the hard truth our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shares in our study on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you to another great journey through God's Word. So if you've been with us for very long, you know that Dr. McGee doesn't sugarcoat the truth, does he? But you know, God's Word does have plenty of good news, too. Now, if you're new to Through the Bible, don't let this scare you off. We're glad to have you join our listening family that today spans the globe and speaks more than 250 languages. Now, as you begin, there are a few things that we always like to tell people about. First, we teach the Bible, and that's all that we do. For 5 years, we travel systematically through every book, and then we start all over again. First in the Old Testament, and then the New, teaching from every book and every chapter. And right now, we're in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. But the neat thing is, it really doesn't matter where you start. You just hop aboard the Bible bus, and that's what Dr. McGee called it, and in 5 short years, you'll make it through all 66 incredible books. Not too many people can say they've done that. And second, we provide Dr. McGee's notes and outlines free of charge to help you get the most out of each lesson. And the quickest and easiest way to get those notes is on our app as you listen. And you can also go to our website over at ttb.org, where you can download them immediately in one digital volume called Briefing the Bible. We also offer it for sale on Amazon for 99 cents. Or to receive an abridged version in paperback of Briefing the Bible, you can use the online request form at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. And in Canada, finally, you can write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. And if you want to go deeper into a specific book, well, we got you covered, because we've collected all of Dr. McGee's lessons and resources in an easy-to-reference study guide. And third, if you'd like to take these messages on the go, be sure to check out our many listening options, from the app that I just mentioned to podcasts, station listings, and our trusty Bible Bus flash drive, which has the entire 5-year study on it, along with dozens of Bible study booklets. And ttb.org is also where you can catch up on messages that you've missed, and it's a great place to direct friends to listen along with you. And last, no matter how long we've been on the Bible bus, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters are just part of our DNA around here. If there's a specific study or passage that we've studied together that has impacted or challenged you, you know we'd love to hear about it. How's God used these studies to grow your faith? Well, be sure to tell us your story. Like Kathy in California recently wrote in this email, she says, "I want to share how much Dr. McGee and his teaching have meant to me. I first came across your radio program in 2003. I was in a crisis because I was trying to leave a church that my grandparents and mom had attended. They were both gone by that time. I never ever felt saved and even loved by God in the church I was in. I felt constantly condemned and fearful, yet completely unable to leave, since I had been taught it was the only right way and everyone else who believed differently were going to hell. My dear mother truly loved God, yet I know she was often fearful in this way. Dr. McGee showed me what salvation truly is, that it's not of works. I've learned so much from Dr. McGee and continue to learn. I listen to Through the Bible, primarily on my iPhone. I'm glad to say I'm in a Bible-believing church today, but I could not do without your teaching as well." Well, thanks, Kathy. Thanks for writing, and praise God for His truth that sets us free. And here's another good one. This is from Lynette over in Michigan. "Thank you for the book, Briefing the Bible. Thank you for letting me be a part of the family. My pastor quotes Dr. McGee a lot in church. I'm praying my church family will also come aboard. I do not have internet or email. What I do have is a heart for praying. God bless you." I love that, Lynette. A heart for prayer. We all need that, don't we? So what's your story? Why don't you share it by leaving a message on our social media accounts or email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we study your word together, would you fill us with your wisdom and understanding, and then help us to hear the message that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're now off to Isaiah 28 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we indicated last time, that we began here in chapter 28 in a new section in Isaiah, and we have looked at prophecies from 24 to 27 that were entirely future, that is, for the most part, and then those that had to do with the judgments, the burdens, were for the immediate future or for that day, they've been largely fulfilled. Now, Isaiah spoke both into the immediate future and in the far distant future, even beyond where we are today. And you find now a combination in this new section that we've entered that'll take us through chapter 35, in which you have the immediate and the far distant brought together in such a marvelous way that the present will illustrate the future. That which has been fulfilled will illustrate that which is yet to be fulfilled. Now, we mentioned the fact there would be six woes here. And the first woe here was against the northern kingdom, called Ephraim here. But we saw that Ephraim and Israel are synonymous terms for the 10 northern tribes. And it was Assyria that came down and took them into captivity. Now we are told here that the prophet begins to move to the future. Verse 5, he says, in that day. In what day? Well, we've already seen that that day is the day of the Lord. Begins with the great tribulation period. It's a technical term. And extends on through the millennium. Now we are told here, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Now that looks into the future, that which is yet future, to the millennial kingdom that is coming. Now the thing that took Ephraim or the northern kingdom down was the fact they had the crown of pride. But in that future day, when God brings them back to the land, why, it'll be a crown of glory. Now he says, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet had erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. A man was telling me recently, he's a businessman that has contact with businessmen. I don't suppose there's a day goes by, but what he deals with men that are big operators, that is, they make big investments and they do it for large profits. And he was saying concerning a certain man that was beginning to indulge in sin, that is, unfaithful to his wife and drinking heavily. And he said the man recently has made certain judgments about investing that has caused him to withhold loaning money to him. And he said the reason is that when a man begins to drink and a man begins to indulge in sin, he loses his sharpness in business. Now, he said, I'm a Christian, and probably I'm biased in saying it, but he says, over the long haul, over a period of years, I happen to know that's factual because I've learned it through bitter experience. Well, God says that that was the thing that brought this nation down and brought judgment upon them. Now, I'm dropping down to verse 13. He says, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, it's a section like this, this verse here, in fact, this whole section here, that has caused many expositors of the past to call Isaiah the prophet of the commonplace. And certainly that is true. Now, this is a great statement, friends, and it's the reason I'm pausing here with this. Now, there are a great many Christians today, and they're generally Christians that have a hang-up. They are not satisfied with their Christian life. They are very, I don't like to be, well, so brutally frank, but they're actually totally ignorant of the Word of God. And there comes along some little course that you can take in a week, maybe a 2-week course, or maybe just a few days. And all of a sudden, you'll be given the answer to all your problems. You'll know now how to get along with your mother-in-law, and you're not going to fight with your wife anymore, and you're going to be able to guide your children right. The boss is going to give you a raise because you've become such a wonderful star in his employ. Fact of the matter is, friends, it's the solution to all the problems of life. Let me say this to you very candidly, because some of you have been greatly disappointed today. I'm getting quite a few letters like that. And a great many people that think if they can just get a certain experience, and then they go into bitterness because the experience didn't solve their problem. Will you listen to what the Word of God has to say? There is no shortcut to the Christian life. There is no easy way. May I say to you today that the yoke the Lord Jesus gives is not an easy chair. And the only way in the world that you're going to grow as a Christian is just like this. And this is so commonplace. And this is so ordinary that I hesitate to say it. Because, very frankly, the minute you say it, somebody say, ho-hum, is that all? Well, friends, this is all, but it takes every bit of this. You want to know the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Just the daily grind of getting into the word of God, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And what happened? They didn't follow through, and they fell backwards. That is, they are in a backslidden condition. That's the reason that so many Christians today are in a backslidden condition. It's not actually that they're weaker than anybody else. They just don't spend enough time in the Word of God. That's the thing. Now, I recognize that I'm not saying something that's exciting. If I would announce on this radio today, I have a little book. It'll take you 30 minutes to read it. If you write in and get it, this little booklet will give you the answer to everything in your Christian life. I will guarantee to you that the first day we'll have over 1,000 orders for that little book. Because even this wonderful listening audience that I have, there'll be 1,000 in it that would go for something like that. Friends, actually, to say it takes us 5 years to go through the Bible, that's not very exciting, do you think? 5 years? Well, that's what it'll take. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. That's the only way you're going to get it, friends. Will you listen to him? Verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem. And God says the judgment is coming to Israel in the north. It should be a warning to Judah in the south. Ephraim speaks to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem speaks to you and me today. And the Word of God speaks to all of us. You see, it looks as if God wrote this book not yesterday, but tomorrow. It's that much up to date. It's way ahead of tomorrow's paper. Now, will you notice? Because ye have said, this is verse 15, ye have made a covenant with death and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now, what is this covenant with death and Sheol? Well, Daniel says that these people will make a covenant with the prince that's coming, Antichrist, the man of sin, the godless man, the willful king that is coming, that Satan's man, the beast out of the sea, as well as the beast out of the land. That's the picture here. Verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Well, now, what's the answer to the falsehood and the lies and the deception that is abroad today and will continue to snowball right on down into the Great Tribulation period. What's the answer to it? Well, God's already put down the answer. It's a foundation. It's a stone. It's a tried stone. It's a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And the one that believes in it, he doesn't need to be in a hurry today. He can rest in him. And Peter made it very clear in his epistle, 1st epistle, 1 Peter 2, 6, and 8. Let me give you just this. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief stone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to him which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, Simon Peter makes it very clear that this stone is Christ. Now, we come down to this section here where God says that for these people, judgment is going to come gradually. And I think it comes that way today. Sometimes it comes suddenly. And what is worse than sudden judgment? Well, the thing that's worse is for it to come gradually, so gradually that you really don't even detect it. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now he says here in verse 20, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in. Have you ever gone to a hotel or motel or visit a friend and they put you in a bed and the cover's not quite long enough? It won't come up around your neck. And if you do pull it up around your neck, your feet stick out. And then you find yourself in a short bed. Your feet hang over, or you have to prop your head up, or you have to sleep at an angle. That's not too good, is it? God says, well, I'm going to just begin by just giving you a short bed. The cover won't be quite enough. And then from there on, there will come the judgment of God. And it came to them. Well, they were 100 years from it, but it came finally to them. Now he says here, and I won't read this section here, go into detail, but from verses 23 to 29, you have almost a parable of the wheat and tares. And he talks about the different kinds of grain and the fact that different kinds of grain require different kinds of thrashing. There is hard grains and there are soft grains. And you use the different kind. He says here, verse 28, bread corn is bruised, you see, because he will not ever be thrashing it. Got to be careful with the soft grains. Now, we have here fennel and cumin and wheat and barley and rye. They're all different. Now, that's the way God judges, he says. And the judgment is the harvest. The individual or nation will actually determine the character of the judgment which is to fall upon them. Isn't that interesting? In other words, if you're hard and resist God, you're a hard grain. You're a hard nut to crack. And the judgment's going to be severe upon you. Man came to me, and I don't have time to tell the story, but he lost his wife and two children. And then he came to himself. He said, God had to knock me down three times because he said I was such a hardened sinner before I came to myself. Well, God will thrash you, friend. And if you're a hard nut, I tell you the judgment will be hard. The Lord Jesus put it like this in Matthew 13:30, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And he says he's going to send forth his angels to gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and they will be judged. How tremendous this is. And you'll determine the kind of judgment, my lost friend. You are hardened. You'll only listen to him. He'll put you over where the wheat is. How different. Now, chapter 29, we have here prophecies concerning Jerusalem that begin with the immediate future, and they go right down unto the kingdom. And I'm not going to go into detail here, but we have first Jerusalem, history and prophecy, trodden down of the Gentiles, and then Jerusalem, meaning and message, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, you would not, your house is left unto you desolate. And then Jerusalem, honor and glory. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, we have here in verse 1, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt, add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Somebody says, well, what is Ariel or who is Ariel? Well, Ariel actually is Jerusalem. And we need to establish that fact, I guess. The name Ariel means lion-like, and it's so used of in 2 Samuel 23:20, when it speaks of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a valiant man, and he slew two lion-like men, that is, two aerial men. Now, a lion-like man is an aerial man, and the word means the lion of God. And in Ezekiel 43:16, the same word is translated altar. Now, the word actually could mean, under certain circumstances, the altar of God. Now, both designations are a fitting title for Jerusalem because it's the city where David dwelt. And the lion is the insignia of that family. Our Lord is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Jerusalem was the place where the temple of God was, and the altar, of course, was there. So that we're talking about Jerusalem. Now we have here, woe to Ariel. Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Now, this is pronounced against this city where David lived, and it's against Jerusalem. This is a remarkable prophecy concerning this city, beginning in Isaiah's day and continuing right down to today. If you walk down the street there today, you'll see that this prophecy is just being fulfilled and will yet be fulfilled. He says, yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. Now, this is judgment upon Jerusalem. Now, he tells about, I'm going to camp around about it, and I'll lay siege against it. Nebuchadnezzar's yet to come, and he came up to the city and destroyed it. And then we have also the time of the Gentiles that began in 606 B.C., when Jerusalem was destroyed, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, our Lord said, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then we go on here with the judgments that are to come upon Jerusalem, and the final attack upon Jerusalem is a judgment of God, but he's going to intervene at the last to deliver his people from extermination. And these dreams of the enemies of God to bring in their own kingdom will be frustrated, and then God will put them down, and then God will end their dream stuff, and then he will build the kingdom, establish it himself as he said that he would do. Now, we're going to have to leave off there at the end of verse 8, and we'll pick up next time at verse 9 here in chapter 29 of Isaiah. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Dr. McGee's teaching on Isaiah has really given us a lot to think about. If the information that we've been fed is more than you can digest in just one sitting, then I'd encourage you to listen to these messages again. They're available anytime on our app or over at ttb.org/Isaiah. And to get the most out of our time together, I suggest that you read the passage both before and after our study. Next time, we'll be in Isaiah 28 and 29. Be sure to go through it. And if you'd like to read ahead every day, you can visit ttb.org to download our bookmark that has the entire schedule. If you prefer to get the reading schedule by mail, we can help you with that. Just call 1-800-65-BIBLE and sign up for our ministry newsletter. And don't worry, we won't hassle you with anything you don't want or need. And we'll just send you our monthly newsletter that has some extra teaching by Dr. McGee, as well as some application tips for the book that we're studying, and then some great information on the way God's using His Word and you, our partners, worldwide. We think it'll be a real encouragement to you. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard next time as we travel through the Bible.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.